Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. So this channel is quite close to my heart because I train coaches in embodiment. I mean, why? Because if you don't work with the body, you're missing a lot. Whether you're a coach, a therapist, facilitator, whatever, that's how you go deep quickly. That's how you do stuff that's sticky. We have to take the body into account. This channel is sponsored by Dylan Newcombe and Uzazu Embodied Intelligence. Dylan is a genius, quite simply put, and I wouldn't say that about many people in this field. I've been studying with Dylan for, God, the first time was probably 10 years ago in the Netherlands. Speaks fluent Dutch, by the way, as well as Korean and a few other languages. What I love about Dylan is his ability to make models of things, looking at how embodiment works. His system, Uzazu, U-Z-A-Z-U, is really all about state shifting. So I think of him as the sort of master of state changing, how we can shift our state, our client's state, and how we can develop ourselves through those different ways of being. So I think for coaches and therapists, it's like easy to learn, practical toolkit. I've used it myself over the years. So if you want a 3-day online training with Dylan, then look at the link below, or you can go to Uzazu, uzazu.org. And even easier, he's got an embodied assessment there you can do as well. We all love doing these little tests about ourselves, but this is an embodied one. So there you go. Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. I'm gonna be on this one a lot just because there's lots of cool people on here. Lots of people, I think, you know, well worth a listen. Embodiment in facilitation is so necessary. So from me to you, welcome.
Diana is an embodiment explorer and gentle space holder for all that arises within the body to be felt, listened to, and welcomed. She is an integrated body-mind therapist offering safe space for clients to build inner resources, drawing on the disciplines of tension release exercise, TRE, Jinsen Jitsu, cranial sacral therapy, and focusing. She is also a movement meditation facilitator, inspired and informed by years spent diving into different approaches to yoga, qigong, and somatic meditation. Welcome, Diana. And I'm so excited to be able to be a part of this presentation. I love all of the things that the TRE, the somatic work and cranial sacral work, focusing, all of those things are things I've been interested in. So I'm really excited to see how you're going to bring those together for us to use in our own life, and self-care, which is so needed at this time for all of us. So thank you. I'm turning it over to you.
Well, thank you, Robin, for that introduction, and also a big welcome to everybody that's joining, whether you're in the main room or you're participating in this anyway. I would like to just start by doing some screen sharing, so give me a moment here. Okay. And so since it might be the first time that many of you are meeting me, I just wanted to share a little bit about me. So I've been sensitive since I was a child, even though I don't think I actually had the language to understand it back then. I would cry very easily from TV commercials to nature documentaries. And I've been very sensitive to sound. I still remain so. And very shy as well as a child. And growing up in a place like Singapore, which is still where I'm living, it remains an ongoing process of finding a quality of safety while being sensitive. You know, Singapore is known for many things, efficiency and productivity. And all of this seems to suggest that we remain the same at all times, like cogs in a machine that function well, that don't change. And being emotional or having these fluctuations that can come when one is sensitive can seem a little inconvenient. So it's really been an ongoing process to embrace the sensitivity and find its value in the world. And since I was young, I've been drawn to movement as a way to translate these deep feelings about the world into expression. I found that sometimes words just couldn't really express the depth to which I was feeling, the intensity to which I was experiencing a relationship, the environment, beauty. And so I've dived into yoga since I was 11 and carried on exploring movement meditation and dance and qigong. And right now in my work, I am offering sensitive client support through gentle bodywork and compassionate listening. This is both online and offline. And what I find just in supporting these clients is really a mirroring back to myself about my own journey and process, and how so often it can be challenging to be sensitive in a world that seems to be a little loud, a little fast, faster than what our body's pace and rhythm might prefer. And in particular, self-care is a topic very close to my heart. I find that sensitive clients actually respond very, very well to receiving any kind of therapeutic support. However, once they step out of that room, that clinic, that space, they have to re-enter the busyness of the world. And that can feel very confronting. And so building these inner resources have always been a cornerstone to what I share with the clients that I see. And that's the focus of my sharing today as well. So to set some context for our session today, this is really an invitation for you to be humane about your humanness. So, you know, at any point in the session, if you're feeling that something is arising for you that feels uncomfortable, please know that I warmly welcome and invite you to take a step away, get a drink of water, move your body. Be really kind to whatever is showing up. This is also an invitation for you to be curious and compassionate to what arises, but also to the unique human that you are. And so by no means, when I think about this presentation or this sharing on sensitivity, am I pigeonholing or boxing you into this, like you are a sensitive person box, because we're each too complex, marvelously complex human beings to fit into such a rigid structure. Instead, if you personally identify as being compassionate, being sensitive, I invite you to use this as a way to be really compassionate to the different ways in which you show up in the world that people might not always be able to understand and may not so readily receive. And if you're attending this because you know somebody in your life who you think might be sensitive, then this is also an invitation to bring a quality of compassion towards them and their unique experiencing of the world. Finally, this is an invitation for us to collectively explore together. And I know for some people, if you are sensitive, this format is perfect. You get to remain in your private little nest that might feel cozy and safe. There can be some anonymity that can be here in this Zoom format. But for others, it can feel very disconcerting to be connecting with something that can feel vulnerable and yet not be able to sense into the body language, into the facial expressions of other people here. So I'd like to just start the session by inviting you to join me in a settling practice. I'm going to stop my sharing of my screen right here so I can be with all of you. So taking a moment in your space, choosing a comfortable seat for yourself. You might like to close your eyes here. And placing one hand over the center of your chest and the other over your belly. And just feeling into the places where your body is meeting the ground or the seat that you are on. Allowing yourself a couple of natural breaths here, not needing to change anything at all about your breathing. feeling with each breath the rise of your body and the gentle softening in. With each exhale, inviting yourself, inviting the weight of your bones and your body to settle downwards, drawn by gravity. Letting your body be supported by the surface that you are resting on. And if it feels helpful for you in the privacy of your own space, allowing some sound to come on your exhale. Perhaps it's a sigh, just of being able to take a pause. Perhaps it's been a long day. Some of you are tuning in at the end of your days. Perhaps a sound, something that's been wanting expression but hasn't had the space for it just yet. Letting each exhale bring a further settling into the embrace of the support underneath you. And if you are sitting on the ground like I am, I invite you to place your fingers or your palms on the ground. And if you are sitting on a chair, bringing awareness to your feet, the soles of your feet on the ground. And I invite you here to let your awareness draw down below the surface that you are resting on. Letting that awareness travel down through the foundations of the building that you are in. Continuing to let that awareness travel even further down onto this land that you are in. This land and all of its history. All of the people who have come before you and survived and their resilience. All of the nature of this land that you are in its power of regeneration, season after season, year after year, the trees, the rocks, the rivers. Taking your seat and your place upon this resilience and this regenerative quality of this piece of land, this corner of the world that you are in. And if you feel ready to expanding your awareness to include everyone else that's here, extending some compassionate awareness to all these other people joining here in their respective corners of the globe, all the different times that we're tuning in at, morning, noon, night. And taking a moment to feel into this connection of the collective. And very slowly beginning to rub your hands together, creating some warmth. And placing your hands anywhere that feels nourishing in your body right now. Letting that area soak up the warmth of your hands. Blinking the eyes open. Getting a sense of the room that you are in first, and then letting your eyes return here to the screen. And I'd love to hear from some of you on how that feels, to feel into that sense of connection. So often sensitive people can feel that the only way that can feel safe is to be in isolation, to kind of go into our little cave. And yet there's a part of us that deeply relates to people, that deeply feels and wants to feel a sense of belonging. So it feels helpful to start in this way. Thank you for sharing. People are feeling calm, warm. Okay. And so with that, I'm going to go back to screen sharing, feeling reconnected. Oh, that feels really precious. Okay. And so from here, just going to move into this next slide. And this is really the different ways in which sensitivity can show up for us. And so there are seven of these here, and I invite you as I move through them to have a sense which of these feel true for me. So the first is that of noticing our environmental details. You might notice the ticking of a clock that's parked in the corner of your room. Maybe you might notice the way light streams into a room and be really entranced by it, or the way in which dust moves in the light. You might also really notice the ways in which colors might not gel together. You're very aware of what is coherent. So that's the first way in which sensitivity can show up, being very aware of our environmental details. The second is being attuned to external sensations and cycles. So this can show up in the form of maybe entering a room and suddenly feeling a little tense, and perhaps finding out later on that the two people in the room had just had a disagreement before you entered, and you hadn't even realized, but you sensed into something that was there. In this moment in particular, in this time of the pandemic, it can also be where we feel a lot of what's moving through in the collective. Many of us are moving through similar experiences, but you might feel it especially strongly. Certain qualities, maybe of anxiety or fear, that have come up especially in the last couple of months. You might also be very attuned to external cycles. And this could be the cycles of the seasons. You might feel acutely the freshness of spring when it arrives, maybe the vibrancy of summer, a time of releasing in autumn, and a time of inwardness when winter comes around, perhaps a particular affinity even to the cycles of the moon. The third way in which sensitivity can show up is an attunement to our internal landscape of the body. And what's interesting here is often when I encounter clients who are sensitive, they speak about being disconnected from their body and being very, very mind-based. And yet when they feel ready and safe and able to, they can describe with incredible accuracy and precision what it is that their body needs in a particular moment in time. 1 inch more to the right, 2 inches down, and they know. And so there is a keen attunement to our internal landscape. And oftentimes, because that attunement can feel so strong, there can be a tendency to move into the head instead, which can feel like a safer place. The fourth way that it can show up is in strong feelings. And here, by strong feelings, it's not just of the anger and the sadness variety, but also just immense joy and elation over what seems like very tiny things. There's an overall sense of experiencing anything far more deeply and intensely. The fifth way it can show up is perfectionism. And so this comes hand in hand with noticing all these tiny details. So So you might notice when a line is just a little bit crooked, or maybe the painting in the room is hung slightly off at an angle. And this can be very helpful sometimes, especially in doing work. Some things which other people might have missed, often a more sensitive person would be able to hone in on these details. The sixth is a keen awareness of what is below the surface. So I like to call this the BS meter. So sensitive people have a very, very strong BS meter. So you might meet somebody for the first time and before they've even said anything, you have a sense of a little bit of a sense of how they might be. Or you might be able to tell if someone's saying something, but the energy underneath what they're saying, the intention underneath what they're saying isn't really aligned. And this can be very helpful sometimes. The last example of how sensitivity can show up here is in our replaying of past or future scenarios. So going back into the past and breaking down conversations that were had, breaking down behaviors and going, oh, I would have done that differently. I should have done that in that way. Or maybe playing forward into the future. Noticing all the possible scenarios in which to go in. And this can cause a lot of thinking, and yet at the same time, strategy. You're able to learn all these lessons from the past and make sure they don't get brought forward into the future. So I'm curious to hear, or just curious to have you reflect for a moment, that as you were looking through that list and I was speaking, were you identifying with these qualities from a perspective of how these show up as troublesome, as inconvenient for you? And very oftentimes, that's how we relate. We might relate to our sensitivity, and that's how sensitivity is talked about a lot in the mainstream. It's feeling too much, it's being too uncertain in how we do things. It's thinking too much, taking too long to decide. And yet our sensitivity can amplify not just what is challenging, but also what is very much life-affirming. And it's this quality that I'd like to invite us to consider in this session today, as to our internal landscape, an attunement to the ways and the cycles of the world, an ability to really sense into how people are. These can be incredibly useful in our personal and our professional relationships. And please excuse this very simplified graph here. It's really an illustration to just really recognize and acknowledge that to someone who's sensitive, so that's that darker, bolder yellow line, somebody less sensitive might still experience the waves, because that's really what life brings us. But their waves might be a little smaller, and it can feel easier to come back to that baseline again. I wanted to also speak a little about the different ways in which sensitivity can arise. So a lot of the focus here as I'm speaking about sensitivity is about this first notion of high sensitivity. And I know this has been spoken about by different people in the course of this conference, referencing Dr. Elaine Aron's work, which shares that 20% of the population is highly sensitive. And in her terms, it's people who have sensory processing sensitivity, of which the traits she has categorized as depth of processing. So that's the deep thinking that can happen, an ease in overstimulation, feeling emotions deeply, and being very sensitive to all the little details. However, there are two other ways as well that sensitivity can show up, which I feel are distinct from being a highly sensitive person. The first are people who might have sensory processing challenges. This is otherwise referred to as sensory processing disorder, and I prefer not to use that phrase, but it's where at least one of the eight senses are not fully integrated. And you might wonder why eight senses. So this includes the vestibular sense, the sense of balance, proprioception, as well as the interoceptive sense. And it's often under-identified in adults. It can range from being very mild to being quite pronounced. And nowadays, little kids are more often going for these tests, but many adults don't have this identified. And when this is supported through sensory integration, actually some of that sensitivity no longer shows up for somebody. Another way in which sensitivity can present is when somebody is in a space of being hypervigilant. And this can arise from there being unprocessed trauma within the body, when something from the past is still very much alive with a lot of charge in the present. You can think of it as a cup being very full, and there's only so much more water or more of life that can be poured in before there is that sense of overflow that happens. And in this case of somebody who has unprocessed trauma, again, when that particular root issue might be able to find its place where it belongs in the past and appropriately integrate it through trauma therapy, perhaps some of these sensitivities that might present no longer show up. And because there's so much conversation around trauma in this moment, which I feel is incredibly valuable, vulnerable, and also very vital, I wanted to speak about that and recognizing that sometimes how someone who is highly sensitive might present can be misunderstood to be someone who is traumatized. And while the approaches of supporting both may have their overlap, in the case of someone who is highly sensitive, even at their most nourished and stable state, there is still going to be the sensitivity to the subtle details, to that stimulation, because there is an inherent difference in the receptivity of our nervous system. So it's not really about trying to fix anything for someone who is highly sensitive, but instead to offer welcome to these qualities. And so for the more practical part of the sharing, I wanted to share these three B's with you. So three B's which speak to the ways in which we can offer ourselves somatic self-care. The first is boundaries, the second is being with, and the last, and maybe one of my favorite, is beauty. So I'm going to speak about boundaries and being with together, and then we'll move into a practical exercise where I'll stop the screen share. So you might see this a lot online. I mean, you're speaking about being a sensitive person, the need to have boundaries and to set boundaries. And there can be a lot of good intention on our own parts to set these boundaries, but they don't always feel easy to be felt in the moment. And I believe that felt boundaries are really key for us to feel that we have the capacity of the vessel of our body to experience whatever life is bringing us, to experience all of these different emotions that are moving through us, and to remain open and receptive to the world. Sometimes there can be this sense that the world is too much, and there can be a quality of collapse that happens because it feels like the world is bombarding you. And when we can get clearer about what is ours and what is not ours, we're able to stand in our space, in our ground, and remain open to noticing and receiving the rest of life. And I feel that as sensitive people, the shapes we inhabit and the words that we use are very powerful. just as how we might be sensitive to external stimulus, we are also very sensitive to internal stimulus. And the more it is that we can let our bodies get familiar, get comfortable in these different shapes that feel powerful, that feel spacious, the more it is that we can say to ourselves words that are felt in the body, the more we might be able to bring this quality of boundaries into our relating. And so there'll be two practices here which I'll share. The first is sensing your container, and the second is a practice of not mine. The second B is that of being with. And for this, it's meeting ourselves with nourishing hands as a soothing resource. And touch is so powerful. It has an ability for us to take an action for ourselves in a given moment, to know that we can do something to meet that part of ourselves that might be uncomfortable, that might simply be wanting some attention, that might feel a little intense. It gives ourselves a sense of agency that we can offer that to our bodies. Touch that is safe and gentle is also able to help in that production, the secretion of all of these feel-good hormones and neurotransmitters, helping us to drop into that parasympathetic nervous system space where we feel a sense of connection even here with ourselves. And so for this, we'll have a practice which I like to refer to as tending hands. So I'm going to stop my screen share now. Going to move this a little further away, just so you can see more of me. Okay. And so finding a comfortable position for yourself.
Hey. Hi, you're breaking up a little bit. I just wanted to check with you about that and see if you can do anything on your end, and we'll just go ahead and go into this right now. And I did want to also let you know we do have a few questions, but we'll see if it'll hold. Great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So finding a comfortable place for yourself, comfortable position, and beginning to interlace your fingers and pressing your palms together. And let's do this very gently, so there's no need to force your palms together. But even as you gently press your palms together, you might feel that there is an engagement through your arms, through your front of your chest, and through your back. And if that feels like enough for you in this moment, just let it go. Shake your hands up. And if you are sitting on the ground like I am, take a moment to just really feel into the soles of your feet pressing against each other. So pressing the soles of your feet together, knees are out to the sides. And feeling that engagement all the way up your legs. If you're sitting on a chair, I invite you to actively press your soles of your feet into the ground, feeling that engagement again all the way through your legs. And here, no need to do too much of it. Can just wiggle the legs, shake out the legs for a moment. And then let's combine the two together, interlacing the hands, pressing the feet and feeling this engagement all the way through the front and the back of our body, our arms, what helps us take action in the world, feeling the engagement through our legs, what helps us to stand tall, helps us to move forward, feeling this engagement in your muscles, and drawing the awareness out to the surface of your skin, where it is that your body ends and the rest of the world begins. Getting a sense of that outline of your body, this vessel of your experience. And releasing that and gently moving, shaking it out, the hands and the legs. And so from here, I invite you to interlace your fingers, pressing the hands forwards, getting a sense of creating space for yourself around you, drawing the arms above you, and then extending the arms out to the sides, like you're pushing open a door. And so feeling into that sense of creating space around you, in front of you, above you, and to the sides. And as you get comfortable with this movement, I invite you to add on a simple affirmation. The ones I like to use are very simple. It could be something like, I can, I am, or even I choose, choosing what it is that is healthy for us to welcome into our space, and letting whatever isn't helpful or healthy to stay out of that space. And this time around, just taking your time to finish this last round with your affirmation and drawing your hands back in front of you, taking a moment to lightly press the palms together, feeling into that container of your body again. And part of this not mine practice is about clarifying what is ours and what isn't ours. And so there might be a particular relationship dynamic that you are in right now. It could be one that's longstanding. It could be family, because family often is the arena where some of these most challenging and intermeshed relationships can show up for everybody, and especially so for sensitive people. Taking a moment to press your hands lightly on your chest, and you might like to say your name here. So in my case, saying the name Diana. And then as I push my hands away, you could say the name of this person with whom you feel your boundaries aren't always very clear. Saying the name of that person, and placing your hands back on your chest, saying your own name. Just trying this for a few rounds. And letting that go. Again, shaking out the hands. And taking a moment to come back to what's arising for you in this moment. Perhaps placing one hand over the center of the chest and one hand over the belly. And noticing what came up for you with that, with the clarifying of the boundaries, feeling the container of your body, and this very short touching into distinguishing what is yours and what isn't yours from a relationship that you've been in. When you feel ready, you can open your eyes, and I'd love to hear from you just by sharing in the chat what it was that you found helpful, anything that showed up for you. I see that people are saying that you liked that one.
Yeah, that not me. Definitely, as a lot of chat people are saying, was really helpful and restorative.
Yeah, good. Thank you for sharing that, Julia. Yeah, and you know, with this exercise, what I would say is that, especially if you're in the throes of a particular intermeshed dynamic, you might want to be very gentle and slow with this practice. We did that for just a couple of repetitions, and that might be enough. Repeating it a lot for a slightly longer time can bring up quite strong sentiments sometimes. So just as a little disclaimer there. Let's see what else. Strengthening, grounding, reassuring. Feeling yourself, feeling your chest is solid, wonderful. And this can be something that can be very helpful to do for yourself. If you're noticing that you might be heading into, it could be a family gathering, it could be a stressful work situation, moments in time where you know that it isn't always so easy to stand your ground. And so have that practice and that sense within your body of feeling solid, feeling strong, feeling open, and then moving into that engagement that can help you feel a lot more resourced. Yeah, wonderful. So I'm gonna go back to sharing my screen.
Diana?
Yeah?
We have about 18 minutes before the hour. And I wanted to tell you that we have a couple of questions in the chat, but also we have several in the Q&A.
Okay.
Thank you,
Robin, for helping me keep time.
Sure.
Okay. And so the third B, my favorite B, beauty. And our ability to notice these details in the environment can very much be redirected into an orientation towards beauty, to what is beautiful around us. And the field of neuroaesthetics is still very nascent, but some of the research emerging from there suggests that when we look at something that's beautiful, we can get a quality of being satiated in the way that we might a delicious piece of cake or chocolate or whatever you enjoy. And so beauty is very much nourishing for our body and our being. And as sensitive people, this can be a powerful external resource for you. If you are in a space that feels uncomfortable, can you take a moment to scan the room and see if you can orient to a detail of that room that you find beautiful? It doesn't have to be anything grand. It could be maybe the way the curtains are draped, or it could be a certain light fixture in a room, or if you're out in nature, how it is that a particular color or a texture is showing up for you. And this practice that we'll be moving through shortly after this, I like to term as Eyes of Wonder. And what I'll be inviting us to do is first an exercise of softening and relaxing our eyes. And then I'll be moving through a few images. These are images that I've taken of different little snapshots of nature that I found deeply beautiful. And so I invite you on this virtual exploration through a couple of these images with me of these snippets of nature. And then I invite you to turn into your own space. Take a little beauty walk around your room that you might be in, noticing and welcoming any particular objects or details that stand out for you. So I invite you to join me now, again, closing the eyes, settling into that natural flow of your breath. And with your next few inhales, bringing awareness to your eyes. These eyes that we've been using a lot in recent days, especially with the conference on. And letting each inhale bring a sense of spaciousness and awareness to the eyes. And on your next few exhales, letting each exhale invite a quality of softening to the eyes, a sense that the eyes can settle back into their sockets and rest there. Perhaps even having a sense of the eyes gently rolling out towards either side without a need for a sharp focus forward. Letting the eyes be like the eyes of a child, without a need for naming, identifying, and categorizing, but rather eyes that are taking in detail with a quality of wondrousness. And as you slowly begin to open your eyes, keeping that soft gaze to welcome in the following images on the screen. Noticing the textures and the light, the curves and the crevices. Sensing into the textures, surprising the art in nature. Noticing reflections, solidness and liquid together in the same space. The light and the dark, the cracks and the solidness. Letting your eyes drink in these different details without really needing to know or to focus on what it is that you're seeing. Drinking in the abundance, the sweetness. Pausing on wisdom, the ancient. Possibility and freshness, taking this all in. And I invite you now to, still with these soft eyes, turn your attention and awareness to the room that you are in and begin to take a beauty walk. Take a little beauty walk around your room or a beauty gaze around your room. Perhaps noticing if there is an object near you that you might want to touch and feel. And taking a moment to connect with its beauty, the beauty of a familiar, mundane object in this space that you know so well. Can you turn your full awareness into the quality of a curve, the softness of a texture, reclaiming a little bit of beauty in the space that you know so well. When you feel you've connected in with this object or objects in your room, closing the eyes again and drawing the hands back to yourself. It could be even in the form of a little hug right now, as we begin to draw this session to a close. Just staying with the beauty that is there when you begin to look with your sensitive eyes at the world. And I'd like to, as you're sitting and being with this beauty that you've connected in with, I'd like to share a poem, which I'll read out to you, so there's no need to look at the screen. And it's of somebody who I feel was very much a representation of a highly sensitive person. Somebody who spent her time honoring her boundaries in Provincetown, who spoke so beautifully about being with all the different ways in which our emotions can show up. And also of being able to notice the beauty in everything. And this is a poem by Mary Oliver. And I invite you to really drink in her words. Salt shining behind its glass cylinder, milk in a blue bowl, the yellow linoleum, the cat stretching her black body from the pillow, the way she makes her curvaceous response to the small kind gesture, then laps the bowl clean. Then wants to go out into the world where she leaps lightly and for no apparent reason across the lawn, then sits perfectly still in the grass. I watch her a little while thinking, what more could I do with wild words? I stand in the cold kitchen, bowing down to her. I stand in the cold kitchen, everything wonderful around me. And you can slowly begin to blink your eyes open, taking a look around your room, filled with all of these wonderful things. And I just want to offer a blessing to everybody that I hope and trust that you continue to find safety in your sensitivity, and so that you can keep showing up in the world proudly tender-hearted, taking in all of the beauty that the world has to offer, and also offering up the beauty of your perspectives, your insights, your wisdom, and also your creations. So thank you all for joining me in this session.
Oh, Diana, that was just so lovely. I was mesmerized by just listening to your voice, and it just kept taking me deeper and deeper. And there are so many people in the chat speaking about how they were so loving what you were presenting and where you were taking them. We have a few questions, but we don't have much time. But I would like to at least read a couple of them to you.
Sure.
One of them is, what is the difference between an empath and a highly sensitive person? Thank you for a place like this. I have always and still have been criticized for my sensitivity and always feeling like I'm wrong, not being taught or taught how to manage this. This means a lot. Thank you for your time and this space. Sending love. Mm. That's from Zareka.
Oh, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, everyone is very touched by mm-hmm. all of this. And there's, how can suspected sensory processing challenges get diagnosed? There's just quite a few things here. Mm-hmm.
What I would say, because I'd be more than happy to answer any of the questions that you have. So I think it's been put in that chat, you're welcome to actually reach me, whether it's in Facebook or Instagram or even on my website. And you can just write to me there with your questions. I'd love to connect with you. I think it's so important that as fellow sensitive people, you feel heard and seen, and that you have a space that you can clarify what's showing up for you. Yeah, so feel free to write me and I'll respond to all of you.
That is beautiful. This has just been such a beautiful session. I'm really looking forward to going back mm-hmm. and reviewing it several times so I can go deeper and deeper. Mm-hmm. And in talking about being able to do that, you all have 48 hours in order to see this again. And you can do that by going to the portal. But also you can go to Facebook, to the Facebook group. This is the coaching and therapy group on Facebook. And you can become a member of that group and continue to talk with other people of like mind and see this again. It'll be able to be played there for 48 hours. And you can always go to the links that Alicia is posting in the chat to upgrade to buy the library, which is a great way to support us, as well as offering the ability for others to be able to see this for free for the 48-hour period. And when you do purchase it, you get notes on every session. You're able to have the audios to just go download when you want to go walk or something on your phone. You can get learning lists to structure your learning. And I know for myself, I'm looking forward to diving into this over the next number of years, because there's just so much content. And it really takes a lot to take all of this in through practice. So again, Diana, I have one last thing to ask you, and I'd like to know what your top tip to stay embodied is.
I think for me, it's really to choose to befriend your body, even in all the uncomfortable places, because this is our vehicle for aliveness. So choose to befriend your body. Yeah.
Thank you so much.